Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
For those that don't know, I do identify as a faggot. I'm not gay. I am a faggot.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and it's a big darn deal in the Eric Williams household. Not only is Bitch Puddin our guest this week, who you have, yes, seen on Drag Me to Dinner on Hulu. Yes, you have seen her win Dragula. But also my episode of Ashley Gavin's pod, We Were Having Gay Sex, is up. I just got confirmation for the next Gay Ass Live shows. It went from zero to 60 real fast. If you haven't listened to my Ashley Gavin interview yet, it's one of the most exciting things I've been a part of. Sorry to say it. She's just such a great podcaster, and the show is so iconic. They have an insanely huge audience, and I'm just happy that I got to be on it and it went well, and the YouTube comments have been nice. So I'm good, honey. If the YouTubers are happy, I'm happy. I will also say the LA date for the next Gay Ass Live show is September 14th, and we just confirmed another New York date. Oopsies, I'm saying it. It's in the fall. I'll give you more New York information soon, but yeah, we're announcing the lineup for the LA show soon, and those tickets will be on sale before you homo it. I'm going to get into this episode straight away with Bitch Puddin. I will tell you, she does have a hot dad, and I ask too many questions about it. If you enjoy That's a Gay Ass Podcast, leave a 5-star review. I have loved them so very much, and listen, I want to get onto Ashley Gavin's level one day, and we got some growth to do, and I'm not shading us, I'm just saying we can get there, so leave that review. Also, join the Patreon if you're looking for the ad-free eps, or if you just want to support. Only $5 a month, and that will be a huge, huge help and help us grow the gay-ass universe. I love you so much, and enjoy this ep with Bitch Fucking Puddin. Welcome to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, Bitch Puddin. This is a dream in the making, and as a dessert girl myself, I could not be more thrilled. How are you doing, Bitch Puddin?
I'm good. I'm glad you forgot the G. A lot of people do add the G, and it kind of makes me upset. Does that make sense? Like,
it does, because you have an N apostrophe.
Apostrophe, right? It's more slutty. It goes down easier.
I mean, listen, do you feel offended if people just call you Butch? Take three. Do you get offended if people... Do you feel offended if people just call you Bitch? Do you prefer your full government name of Bitch Puddin?
No, I don't mind if it's just Bitch. But, like, I also don't mind when I get, like, if people forget where the Q goes, because I think it's, like, kind of camp in itself. But, like, I do get really irritated when I see the G on there.
Oh, God.
And I was on one show recently, and I was reading off the teleprompter, and the G was on there, and I just was like,
fuck them.
Okay, work, diva. I won your competition, but I see the G on there. Can you get that removed?
Thanks, lay bitch. I also have a very important question that I'm realizing I should be asking every queer guest, which is, bitch, do you have any straight people in your life who are allowed to say fag?
Oh, what a powerful question you asked.
Thank you.
Yes, I love that. For those that don't know, I do identify as a faggot. I'm not gay. I am a faggot. It's why I have a mustache now in drag, because I just want you to know off the top of the bat, I'm not going for you. I'm a faggot. Like, I'm a queer, raging homosexual.
Full-blownsies, fags, atrinties.
Full-blownsy, like, anime villain, Disney villain, I am a faggot. Straight people. God, you know what? I did see, it's problematic in itself, but I did see Azealia Banks at Bushwig. I was booked for Bushwig, and she opened Bushwig. And I was just hoping she would go out in the crowd and just call us all faggots.
But and she did didn't. She? Oh, she didn't?
She didn't. And you know what? She's a polarizing human being. I'm not defending her one way or the other, but I just was in the room and was like, is she going to call us all fags right now?
It's
I was waiting.
It's the new version. Is she going to jump from there?
Is she going to jump from there? I was like, Is she gonna? And that's why I kind of was like, you know what? I was waiting. I was like, is she gonna do it? You
well,
know,
I think that we can probably agree that the vast majority of straights cannot. However, there are the few choice people in our lives. Like, is there a straight celebrity woman, I'll say, who can say fag? Yes. Is her name
Kathy?
Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. She can call me
Kathy
a faggot.
Kathy can call
absolutely.
Me a faggot.
Yeah.
I have one straight friend. She knows who she is. And she and I both know that she can say it. But I don't know if I know many more.
Would you let Drew Barrymore call you a faggot?
As long as we could add an S so she had her Drew Barrymore lisp into it. You're such a faggot. I would let her say that.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you let Melissa McCarthy call you a faggot?
Because she was a divine impersonator, I might let it
only
slide.
If she was dressed as Ursula.
However, the makeup artist that did her mug for the movie,
jail, honey.
They should have just hired Layla McQueen. I just was watching it. I was like, they just hire Layla McQueen. It was a choice.
It was a choice. And I have to say, speaking of choices, I've made some this weekend that I'm curious your take on. What I've described my experience, I've only lived in LA for a year and a half, we'll say going on two, and I'm in my eat gay love experience. I'm experiencing things, and I went to my first pool party this weekend that turned into a... Not a pool party, but
oh, mama, you had a good adult proper sleepover.
Without the sleep.
Was it a good time?
In the daytime.
Without the sleep in the daytime. Ooh.
Have you been to a pool party?
I have
gone
been
rogue?
To a Mario. I have been to, yes. Well, actually, funny enough, in my queer awakening, actually, I met this tall gentleman at a club in Virginia Beach. Mm. And the next day, there was this pool party he was inviting me to. Turns out the pool party was down the street from me. And I'll never forget, like, how magical of a view it was of, like, all these, like, it was, like, gay. It was the first time I was in around, like, gay people who were very almost naked. And it just was, like, this beautiful experience and, like, watching all these people. And then, like, out of nowhere, it was almost like a Disney film. Like, you know, right when Beauty and the Beast is, like, they're getting everything fucking ready.
Oh, sure.
And, like, and it was, like, all of a sudden, now we're making gourmet pizzas. And there was, like, these beautiful, like men, like, muscle men, like, making pizzas, like, from scratch. And it just was, like, what the fuck? And then there was, like, an outdoor fire grill. So they were, like, taking it out and putting the, like, the pizza oven in outside.
Don't
was,
you
like,
love being gay?
I love being a fat
And
gay,
here's
yes.
the deal is that I'm not even joking. When I was witnessing what I was witnessing, which was going from, like, splish splash, mama's taking a bath, to splish splash, mama's drinking some...
I love that. I love that experience. For you. Did you have fun?
I did. I was very overwhelmed by what I was seeing. But I kept being like, this is so incredible. It's like, I said to a couple of people, I feel like I'm watching a movie in real life.
Meatball and I were at a Mario Diaz party one time, and it was a pool party. And then it got to a certain point where it was sundown, and Meatball's like, if we stay still, stuff might go down. And stuff did. And she's like, all right, this is getting too weird for me, Diva. I was like, yeah, girl. Like, I got awkward, like, 5 minutes ago, because we were just, like, two people not involved into this situation.
Diva down.
And we're like, we gotta go.
I mean, but and for a moment, I was starting to feel, like, a little bit like that. But then I saw a friend that I made there, who was a lovely Jewish man from New Jersey, so we really got along. He was like,
I love a Jewish man.
Oh, I'm glad you're saying that. But I have to. He was like, isn't it? Don't you feel bad that straight people can experience this? Like, most straight people have never seen this. And I said, yeah, like, this is very like. I felt like I was studying abroad, but
wingers do exist.
They do.
There's naked resorts. Like,
oh yeah, they exist.
Sixties and seventies were wild. I think they got buck wild and fucked in a pool.
Oh, they absolutely. But I feel like the majority of the straight people I know, do know some that are, you know, living la vida caca, but I think the vast majority would see what I was witnessing at this pool party and be like, call the cops.
Well, did you have a happy ending or ending?
I did not, but I
next time
it was my first experience. I was like
I also feel really self-conscious about my body in LA. I was at Ospenhof on Saturday night. I just was
I've
like,
never been.
Wow, it's fun, it's a good time. I used to live, honestly, one of my first roommates in LA was like with the person who kind of like health founded it.
Well, tell the girls what the party is.
So Ospenhof is a wonderful party of tomfoolery and mischief. It's very queer. It's run by all POC. It's very queer, trans inclusive. But the WeHo gays found it, and that kind of ruined things sometimes. Yeah. So they kind of, like, come now, and it's cute. It was really fun. It was a glitter dome. It's the second time they'd done it, so there was, like, gay wrestling in the middle of the night, and, like, my friend, Laveau Contraire, who did the digital drag show, we finally met in person at this party. She came to Bitchin' the night before, but it was just too crazy a Bitchin'. Mm-hmm. And I met her there, and it was just, like, a magical moment. We got to Key. My friend Brigitte Bidet was there. It was a great time.
I'm obsessed.
There's, like, gay wrestling, and then there's a back room where you can network.
You can network physically,
you can network exchange headshots and resumes.
Well, mm-hmm. Emphasis on the head. I have to say why I'm such a fan of yours is you're not only, of course, gorgine, Hilaire, Intel, talente, kindness, but you also, I think, add to the idea of queer community, and especially about, like, I know we're throwing shade at the WeHo gays of, like, we'll call them like we see them, which is,
if the purge is happening, I know where I'm going.
Exactly. And I love, that's what I love about you so much, is that you know where you're going, but you also have under your widespread arms a safe home for queens, queers alike, as you can also go during the purge. And so I want to thank you for your cervix.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. But yeah, just like, I know what it's like. I was a military brat. I moved around so much. And like, video games is a huge way I found like a defense mechanism. I'd go home and play Street Fighter and beat up people in a thong and be like, I'm hot. Fuck people at school calling me a faggot, you know, whatever. But like, I don't know. I hate people making you feel not included. It really pisses me off, especially in the queer community. I'm like, dude, you're gay, but you're just looking at me like I'm a piece of shit at this club. Like, we're both at this club. You like Britney Spears. Stop being a bitch. Like, you know what
and
I mean?
And we've,
like,
both no had reason things to be an asshole in and around our assholes or
our asses.
Yeah, it's... I
like, do you even suck dick, bro? Like, why are you here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. You're on the every alphabet right now.
Hello.
But like, are you having a good time?
But I do witness recently a reaction to, and maybe it's just my personal experience, but I think the reaction to feeling like we don't fit in certain circles, and then our rebellion from that into finding our community. And I also will feel self-conscious with a certain type of, like, you know, I don't have abs and I boo boo boo. And of course, I think many years ago I would feel ashamed or insecure, but I just know that that is not possible for me to A, have abs, and B, have the desire to have them. And so once I've gotten past that, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I, A, can feel hot, even though I might not look like, you know, a jacked up whatever. But also, that is not the, like, that we're told by straight and gay people that, like, that is the number one top place on the food
chain.
It's
all because our gay awakening was going to Kohl's with your mom and then walking by the underwear section. It was just all those male models and just like half-assed.
That is,
like, I get it. I understand it. I get it. I understand it. But like, also, like, you know, you don't have to put on a front. I hate sometimes when I go to spaces and I feel like everyone's like putting on a front, but I'm like, mama, if Britney Spears came on right now, you'd be popping your pussy. So I really don't.
You would pull your hair into a pony with a furry white wristband.
A wig would magically manifest itself and you'd have a Sailor Moon transformation and then you'd be a different person. I'm like, I don't understand it. Like, you're not fooling me.
I'm not proud to admit that I still sometimes find myself being self-conscious of being too faggy.
It's hard. We've gotten, like, you know, so much, like, bullying over the years.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's why, like, I really try to, like, kind of, like, really be, like, so... I remember, like, watching VH1 one time where there was, like, I don't know, like, I Love the 90s part, like, that whole series. And there was, like, someone being, like, you know, Ellen was gay, but Rosie O'Donnell was, like, superhero gay. And, like, you know, and I was like, oh, you know what? I want to be a super villain gay. I want to be so obnoxious.
Yes.
That way, like, you know, if someone sees it, they're like, oh, that's a little hard. But, like, it inspires your ass 5 years later to be that fat.
100%.
Like, you know, like, it's the long con for me.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'll just, like, I'll take it. I don't give a fuck. I'll wear glitter and an eyelash one day and not give a shit.
And, by the way, look fucking incredible, if I may say. And I also must then have, this is the perfect opportunity to ask you the famous gay ass podcast question, which is, bitch, motherfucking puddin. Whose fault is it that you're gay? Let me do it again. Whose fault is it that you're fag? Who do we blame, Fabe?
There's a lot of things to blame. I'd blame Final Fantasy X-2, where you get to change costumes as Yuna and then realize what drag was. Mm. If I had to pick the moment that I was like, oop, there's no going back, because I used to pray the straight away. I like pray to be straight every night going to sleep. Like we all had that moment probably in our lives. And I was like, the moment I was like, shit, damn, fuck, probably this is not coming back, is oddly enough, Ryan Reynolds in Blade 3. He's like, he's captured and he's like, I'm not even into Bond. It's just because he looked like dirty and like a piece of shit and he was like scruffy. I was like, oh, what's happening here? Mick Steamy from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my God.
And then the Valentine's Day movie, I went to go see it with my mom and he plays gay in that movie. I was like, what?
You just gave us such a gorgeous tale because I think Ryan Reynolds has done a lot of damage to
all of us.
But also there, I think if I may expand upon McSteamy, he turned me not only gay, he turned me into a daddy loving gay.
There's something about
his face that, and like he has just enough salt and pepper. He has just enough of a square jaw. And by the way, his character, I know, did you watch Euphoria?
Yeah,
his character was very problematic in Euphoria.
That was like a full, like, it was so, oh my God.
It was a little close to like, home of the thoughts.
Someone was so smart to cast him in that role, knowing that it was a queer awakening for a lot of us.
Well, and by the way, it's funny you say that because that casting is brilliant. I also have had a recent brilliant idea, which is that I need to get Chris O'Donnell, who played Robin in the gay Batman, and get him and interview him and ask him about how does it feel to have been so many young queers' actual awakening. And
he knew what he was doing.
Oh, he knew, but
the costume designer knew what they were doing. Bat nipples.
He slipped the nipples on. He gave them a little tweak, even though they were already perked up, and he said, "The great work begins."
But I would say, like, mostly my queer awakening, actually looking back on it, it was locker rooms. Mm. So, like, I would be getting ready to, like, change for whatever. I played soccer or whatever. I would be getting ready to, like, you know, get ready for practice or whatever and be changing in the locker room. And I'd always felt really awkward to be naked in front of another guy. Mm. I felt like that, in a way, was improper. But if a woman was naked around me, or if, you know, it was, like, a friend, like, being like, oh, I'm going to change my top real quick or whatever, I didn't think that. I thought that I was, like, fine. I think it's because I realized I was attracted, but I felt like that was, like, something special to see another person naked that you actually cared about.
That is so well said. So, like, did you also have more girls as your friends growing up?
Oh, do you want to talk about moving, like, several times throughout the school year and then being like, dude, like, women are just easier to make friends with. And I'd be like, you know, the new kid moving. Like, I was in three different schools eighth grade year. I lived in Southern Virginia, then we moved to Rhode Island, and then Guam.
By the way, I want to validate your experience that I would say, and I will go on record by saying that eighth grade, you're as a 14-year-old, is the worst year of your life.
As a queer person.
I think it's the worst
year of your life.
I think the only people that enjoy it are the ones that peak in eighth and ninth grade, which is, right. You know, I don't wish that on anyone, but it does happen. But for the queers, eighth grade is all. I mean, I would sit in my dad's car crying because he picked me up once. And I have a twin brother. We were in the same French class and I was getting thrown. People would take straw wrappers, ball them up, and throw them at my back. And I didn't know why they were throwing them at me. And listen, were they, like, calling me faggot? No, but I knew it's because I was not the same.
Right. It was so annoying. And, like, yeah. And, like, I would, like, sit together, like, be the new student, and then a girl would be like, oh, my God, I like your shirt. And then we'd just be friends. And, you know, I'm, like, becoming new friends with these girls and, like, you know, all these guys would be like, oh my God, because they have, like, feelings they don't want to express. Right. They'd be like, well, like, you're hanging out with Jessica and I kind of like her. Oh, you faggot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because they got jealous. And I was
and they don't possess the communication skills that you did.
And straight people, like straight guys specifically, their friend group is like the three friends they had since first grade and they don't lose them.
And there's the joke about
the same.
There's a meme I saw recently about, like, how straight men become friends with each other, which is like, hey, do you want to drink this beer? Okay. And then you're the best man at their wedding. It's like, it's
right.
Not a lot in between.
No, it's not. Like, it's very simple. So if you, like, ruin that harmony, or you come in new and you have, like, they already have a built-in army, yeah. It's really not a live, laugh, love.
Well, and we always find our girlies that save our lives. Yeah. And I always take the moment to thank our girlies for being the lifelines. And I want to ask you, as an army brat moving around, did it feel like... Well, I guess the main question is, were you out during these army years, or did you wait until after you were in one place where you can forge or form your identity?
I was a Navy brat, and I was not out. But there is this one moment. So my dad, like, I was like I don't know, like 15, 16, living on Guam. And he would go to PT because he was like a part of the riverine squadron, so all these guys who kind of, like, it wasn't like SEALs, but they would be like, you know, doing a lot of, like, physical work, and like, do you want to come to PT and, like, pass out water and orange slices? And I was like, absolutely.
It's a yes for me, dad.
Absolutely, yes sir, absolutely. But there was this one time, it was like a change of command or something, and there was like a, like, I was grabbing a plate of food, and it was like away from the party, and there's these two sailors who I don't know if they were like mocking me or if they were actually DL and they caught wind that I was a baby gay, but they were making jokes in front of them, like, about, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek, not something super raunchy to be, like, inappropriate, but, like, tongue-in-cheek being like, oh, like, last night was so great or something like that. And it was just like, and I just kind of, like, honestly wish I could go back in time and, like, thank them, because it was just like kind of, yeah, I don't know. They had to be fam. I'm sorry. They had to be, because it just was, like, too nice. It wasn't like, ho ho faggot. It was just like, you know, something like more like tongue in cheek and sweet.
That's giving
and
erotica. Looking back on it, that's giving, yeah, nifty. It was, like, kinda,
I was just like, oh, this is like a new subset of things. But, like, yeah, it was just like, it was like casual conversation as I was going up to grab my plate. It wasn't directed towards me at all. It just was like, they were like kind of like flirting with each other.
Oh my God.
It was just like us three in the room. It was just like, oh, it's like, oh, that's cool. And that's why I'm like so happy with like representation now. Cause like the only representation I had on TV, and honestly, if I had to blame somebody to make me the queer person I am today, it's definitely him from the Powerpuff Girls.
Oh my God.
I remember watching with my brother, and all of a sudden, like, you know, the boot came from the bathtub, and he was like, yes, girls. And I was just like, oh,
that's
fuck.
The like walks on high heels, Satan, yes, looking. Yeah.
Yes. And how they proposed him, it was like, he's so diabolical. He just goes by one name, him. Like, they just like hyped him up. And I was just like, who is this character?
It's giving the Madonna, like, so of Powerpuff Girls.
And it was really cool. I had a full circle moment years later. I was an intern at Cartoon Network. I was part of the team that brought back the new Powerpuff Girls. And they hadn't shown him. They hadn't like showed what they were planning to do with the show. And we had like a little like watch party. And I'm like in there with like the CEO. And I'm, like, watching it. And I'm, like, just a little intern. And as soon as him gets on the screen, I scream like a queen. I'm just like, yeah! And everyone just stares at me. I'm like, y'all don't understand. That was the first gay person I saw on TV. And it's just so cool that, like, other people will see him again. And that just is really powerful.
That is powerful. And I don't think anyone has brought up that total cartoon fag.
Yeah, she is a complete fag.
Is she a top or bottom?
She's a blouse. Blouse down boots.
Wait, explain to the dolls what blouse is.
Blouses is a feminine, lovely, sissy top, and that's totally fine. And she's going to put you in your place, okay? Also, she has cages for you when you come over, and she'll let you take it off when you deserve it. She's that girl. She's an icon, she's a legend, and she has been the moment. She just needs her roses.
And she holds the key to your cage.
By roses, I mean rosebuds.
Oh my God. I think that we need a spinoff is what we need.
Absolutely. Let's
and
do
I want
it.
You I want you to be the real version of you topped by the cartoon blouse of
him. Oh my God, that'd be so fucking funny if it was a cast of like a rotating casting couch of like people she fucked every week, and that would start the episode. That'd be so fucking funny.
Wow. Well, I take it up with the Cartoon Network CEO
from like senators and stuff. Well, Adult Swim exists. I don't know if they'll be down for that, but speaking of Adult Swim, if you're at San Diego Comic-Con, I will be doing something with Adult Swim there, so I'll see you all.
Yes, plug. Here. You yeah. Better. Speaking of plug, too, devastating transition, but I have seen so much of your content, including your gorgeous family. And do people ever say anything to you about your father?
All the time.
Okay, I'm trying to respectfully broach the topic of your hot dad.
He got all, you know what? You know what's a crime? You know, it's like a fucking crime. He is a wildebeest. Like, he is hairy as shit. And he waxes it, like his chest and back hair. And I'm so mad. I have the awkwardest nippled chest hair. It's so pathetic and
so
sad.
He was blessed with the chest and the body hair, and you were given straws.
That's all I got. I'm an otter from the waist down, which is really nice and lovely. But
from the waist up, have a,
yeah.
Well, if I may commiserate with you, my three straight brothers all got like dump truck asses and a full head of hair, and I got an ass that needs to be fed to stay perked and a very big need for Propecia. So I feel you on that, but I also am devastated that your dad is waxing.
He used to go to, like, when I found out he was doing it, it was like when towards the end of his like naval career, he was just doing it a lot more. And he would go to what I found out was like in Ghent, which is like Norfolk, Virginia. It's like the gay neighborhood. And he would go there. And I was like, I know gay men are waxing you. Like, I know, like, it's either women or, but I know it's in the gay area. And I know when you walk in, you are probably giving everybody like a heart palpitation.
Yeah.
And like,
do you think he's waxing above butt or is he going whole?
Oh, no, he does not do waist down. Also, hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Well, I want to thank your father for representing hot dads. Yes. And
I didn't get any of that likeness. I wish I did.
I think you did, though. I think I can absolutely see the result.
If I got a buzz cut, I feel like I could give the fantasy. If I cut the hair, I think I could give the fantasy. But I like being a sissy faggot, so I like having long hair.
Listen, we love the sissy faggots of our.
Also, I always had to get a buzz cut every fucking like weekend until like I got to college, and I was like, oh no, I'm growing my hair out, like absolutely.
And then yeah. the chapter turned, and now she's got the mane. But I do want to ask, if we are going back into the whose fault is it, and to the back into our youth, you've headlined a party called You've Got Mail, MALE, that gives like throwback vibes of the Now That's What I Call Music, and Now That's What the Now albums. Is there a song that takes you back, like if you think of the Now albums, is there any type of either artist or song that is like very emblematic of your coming to terms times? I can give you an example of, because mine, I realized when I thought about this, mine is absolutely Mandy Moore doing Candy, or a Walk to Remember soundtrack.
Oh my God. Classic, iconic. I actually bought my friend a Mandy Moore like book about that era when she first came out as a pop star. It was like probably at the Scholastic Book Fair, but I found it like when I was vacationing in Madison, Wisconsin with my grandma, and she like literally, we went to a random antique store and I saw it and I was like, I bought it for my friend Brent Bailey, because I was like, this is such like a classic thing.
Oh my
God. If I have
a
picture, I'll send it to you. But damn, I would say looking back on that, okay, so like I was never a pop girly. Mm-hmm. My first album I ever bought was Hillbilly Deluxe by Rob Zombie. So I guess like the song Dragula on it really kind of catered. But I found that artist through like playing Twisted Metal, like classic PS1 games. But when the Now CDs came out, I would say Blink, like Blink 182, because then I found like all the small things. I remember like their music video, like I forget which one it is. They just like run through the street naked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's What's My Age Again. I think that's the one.
What's My Age Again? What's my age again?
Yeah. Yeah, and that all like nostalgic thing, like the video games, emo music, pop punk, even the classic hip hop tracks. Like I think Missy Elliott.
Oh yeah,
Get Your Freak On. Also, she's from Southern Virginia, so like we have like, I don't know. I just have a really good relationship with her, and also I feel like she's a queer icon.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this music like really points to the freakness of it all. Like,
yeah,
and that to me really translates with your work. And I have to say too, there was something about Blink 182
And I may, if I may bring up the reference of Stacey's mom, all of that energy.
Oh, I looked like Stacey's mom the other night and I'm mad I didn't perform it. I think I might do it tonight. I'm doing it tonight. Actually, I'm doing it tonight. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Stacey's mom, there was something about like.
So good.
And forgive me for bringing this up, but there's something about fucking someone's parent that just feels like really
so hot.
Like I'm fucking
I get it. You want to fuck my dad. I understand. I totally understand.
Like, how dare you? How dare you?
Is that how I got this interview? Because he just wanted to fuck my dad.
By the way, do you have his email?
I do.
I absolutely, how dare you insinuate that I want to do anything to your bloodline? That is so fucked up. But speaking of Stacey's mom, I do think fucking a parent, I do think there's something about...
Yeah.
The daddy of it all today. Like when I flirt with someone who is sure in their 40s, 50s plus, but then if I actually find out they're an actual parent, I'm like, this is insane. It feels illegal, but it's not.
Have you had the car seat situation yet?
No, but have you?
I was not expecting it. This guy looked like he was like, I was like on lunch break. This is while I was working for Cartoon, and I was like in randomly we met up parking lot, really quickie, whatever. And he's like, are you tested? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And then he turns and looks to the back seat, and I didn't notice it till then. There was an empty car seat. And before he even could process it, he was already down. And I was like, okay, well.
Jump scare.
And I just was like, wow. He was a young dad.
Teen dad?
Yeah. Work.
I've never witnessed the car seat, but I do think the older that I get, the more people around me are having children, and then the more I see parents. I'm like, you're too young to have kids, and they're fully 35.
I want to be an actual father. Like, I really do want kids really bad. Which is kind of awkward. Like, I do not want to also be a drag queen showing up to the PTA meeting being like, hey.
Are you
like,
kidding? That would be iconic.
Iconic.
Do you, are you currently seeing someone?
Yeah, I am seeing someone currently. And that's like also a thing though, is like when people are kind of interested in wanting to kind of date, that coming up organically, like that you want kids. Like, I remember like when I would used to say it off the bat, like, oh yeah, I want, like, oh my god, it would be like death sentence. I would never hear from the dude again.
I'm not trying
to have a child like right this second, bro, but like it's something I would like to have. Yeah,
I think it's because I'm in the season of life where it just canonically happens, and I do. Mm-hmm. I'm realizing as gay people, we're living in a generation where there's a big divide, I think, between people who are like, absolutely not. Why would I need to live my life now and be the authentic person I am without the pressure, time,
right,
the stressors of raising another human. And then there's the other camp that's like, of course, I want to be a parent, and mm-hmm. I know it's going to be X, Y, and Z, and it's hard for everyone, but like, that's such a beautiful thing. So
also, I know that my dad is attractive into his later years. I can't wait to be a hot dad.
Oh my god! And there we go. And that's full circle.
Yeah.
And that's on full circle.
Oh, I can't wait to be a hot. I've done so much work. I don't think people realize how much work drag artists fucking do. Like, we are the court dressers, and we usually set up the party, set up the environment for everyone to have fun and tomfoolery in, and don't usually get like to partake in it. And then when we do get to partake in it, we always feel like ostracized or not welcome in those environments because we don't look or act a certain way. So I'm gonna cash in on my dad years hard,
and I can't wait to see the money.
Oh yeah, P-Town's gonna be nice.
Oh my god. And that's the gavel is down. I'm obsessed with that for you, and I can't wait to potentially bring my children to your child's birthday party. And
oh, that'd be lit.
Can you imagine gay dads throwing birthday parties?
Oh yeah, especially when they's like, do you realize that your dad and my dad did a podcast together and talked about your dad's dad and
your grandpa, and they talked about Grampy. They talked about
oh my god,
no.
Oh,
what is your, if I may ask, do you have any Italiano? Do you have any, like, would your grandparent name just be like, no, Virginia grandpa, or would you be able to add some flavor?
If I was a grandpa or my dad,
when you have your kids, are they going to call, what are they going to call your grandpa?
I have not really thought about that. I think my nephew and niece call him Papa, I think. I always called grandma and grandpa, grandma and grandpa, except for my Nana. She was Nana. But that was it. I don't know. Like, I've not thought about it. I have thought about what my spouse and I, or like my husband and I, would go by. I think it would be like dad and daddy. Mm. So that way, like, you could know which one's which, I guess, instead of saying dad and just being like, who?
Well, that also speaks to how there's, right, we are still in that generation of, like, there's not a standard
lexicon.
For, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I feel like a smart way to do it is dad and daddy. Like,
oh, yeah, that's great. Like, yeah. I love that. There's, I've heard, yeah, like, dad and papa. There's, I, if you can't tell, I've been having a bit of an existential crisis about kids, because the more I do my eat gay love semester abroad in this chapter, yeah, of my life, the more I'm like, questioning everything, which I think is what, right, you do the older you get.
It's also hard because, like, we didn't really have our teens,
yeah,
so like our 20s are our teens, and then like when we're 30, we're now like probably entering our, what everyone else is in their 20s, so like it's just, yeah, kind of hard. So I know like my timeline is just like down the road, but that's something I definitely want to do down the road.
Absolutely. And I do want to get us into the next famous podcast question, which is dealing with our beloved character actresses. Bitch, put in, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Oh, it's a cross between two.
Please pitch. Let's pitch and we'll make the zombie version of the two of them.
Deborah Wilson or Caitlin Riley. I know they're two completely different, but like, fuck, I know they'd entertain the shit out of me if it was.
Oh, I look. Like, okay, wait, are you talking? Is Caitlin Riley? Are you referring
the
to
TikToker?
The TikToker?
Like, yeah, that bitch needs all the acting gigs. I do not understand. Whoever her agent is needs to work overtime. That woman is so fucking funny.
What do we think is going on behind the scenes?
I don't know. She's getting stuff. She was on Hacks. Like, she's getting stuff. I'm sure she's gotten stuff. And, like, of course, SAG is happening right now. But that woman is really fucking talented. And to the point I just bleep myself out because she's just that fierce.
Yeah. Well,
and then Deborah Wilson, obviously, like, you know, Mad TV, did not get enough credit, does not get enough roses. She also is doing, she's doing a lot of good video, like, voice acting work. I've seen her a lot pop up. She's in the new Star Wars video game that just came out. Her character's back. She's great. I love
So I will obviously be fully transparent with you and tell you that when you said Deborah Wilson, I was thinking of a completely different person. And once I've Googled her, she really was a canonic Mad TV turning people gay, because what is a sketch that she's really famous for on Mad TV? I'm sure I can find it.
She's a lot. Which one?
Oh, Whitney. She played Whitney Houston brilliantly. With like the crazy sweat going down her face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great answer. And again, I think I like about your answers too is that you're choosing two people who deserve the world. And it kind of, I mean, speaking of the strike of it all, it speaks to how the vast majority of working actors people are
so bloody talented.
So talented, and a lot of unsung people who are probably working in like the middle class, if you will, of the business and the world, because we are not often, you know, paid as much as people think, especially
I mean,
you have worked in so many amazing big places. And
I throw a monthly party called Bitchin' at Precinct UTLA. We just celebrated 2 years. It combines like emo music, hip hop. Like, it's like a nostalgia blend. I was trying to touch on that earlier when talking about like all those things about
nostalgia.
That's what I bring to this party, because I want to cultivate environments that make you feel welcome and amazing. I pride myself on paying really well. Mm. I probably don't walk away that party making as much as other promoters do. Wow. But I really try to pay artists like what I feel like you're deserving of. And I also only make the entertainer do one number. Wow. There's a lot of time, like, you have to do, like, change and you have to focus. But, like, that way you can, like, do a makeup, focus someone here. I like just giving you one number to focus on what the fuck you want. And the crowd just loves drag. And it's just, it's like, a thing. So, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, during digital drag, when we, like, helped everyone out during the pandemic, I just wanted to help people. And, yeah, we do not get paid enough. I wish drag was unionized. I don't know if that would help things, but I'm not sure.
I am curious, yeah, if it would. Because do you know... What is your relationship to Drag Race and specifically the, like, economic financial elements of it? Like, one of my
drag moms is the current reigning winner of Drag Race, Sasha Colby.
Oh my God.
So I'm really happy for her right now, currently. Based on the rumors, I'm kind of disappointed that they haven't decided to step out of the realm of just expanding Drag Race further. I think that we could have more women going on Drag Race. I think we could have more I want drag kings to finally be on that platform. I'm so sorry. I would love to hear, you know, we kind of saw it in this past episode where it featured, you know, the lesbians being turned into drag, which was really cool. But I would love to, I'm so sorry, tired of hearing another cis white gay bitch about their upbringing and that whole narrative. Mm-hmm. We've seen that narrative play out the past, 15 seasons of Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Let's hear a drag king from, like, the random town of Pennsylvania and hear that story. That representation is so powerful. And you want to talk about why, like, you know, there are queer women spaces. I mean, Honey's just opened up in LA and it's a great queer space. If you guys are looking for, if you women or people are looking for a more queer women's space, mm-hmm. Honey's is a great space. Bitchin', my co-producer is a woman. Like, I really try to provide space for that. But for me, it's just like, I really want to have those stories told because that representation matters. Seeing him on the TV was the only representation I had.
Yeah.
We've had 15 seasons of all, pretty much all male. Of course, like, now we have trans representation as well. Like, there's a whole, you know, non-binary. I'm just saying, like, cis, like, we've had that representation. We've had those storylines told. So let's expand that. I don't understand why we haven't or why they, like, I would want to see Tenderoni on Drag Race.
Yeah. Well, I think it points to.
Now, they let drag kings on Dragula. And I'm excited about season 5, but you know what I mean? Like,
sure. And I think that's what's great about the world that you are in is that it feels like there's more of a willingness to stretch the limits of, like, what has been put on drag or put right. on different queer cultural elements. Because I think, remember with Drag Race, how there was a lot of
anti-trans stuff too.
Anti-trans, yeah. coming from just, like, a lot of surprising angles. And I think, like, yeah. even RuPaul was not on board for a length of time that made me, frankly, hey, like, shocked.
As long as they get there, yes. I'm fine. Like, you know, like, you can't, I feel like so many times, like, you don't give people, you know, it's about damn time.
Yes.
First and foremost. But I'm glad we finally are there.
Sasha Colby is, oh my amazing, God.
Perfect, perfect human being, an angel, a G-O-D-D-S-S, if you will.
G-O-D-D-E-S-S. S-S.
That bitch is a goddess. Mm. But she is great. But, like, I hope we get there. I hope I see a season where I see drag king representation on Drag Race.
Well, and I have to say that.
On the main season.
With drag queen yeah. representation, you did a little famous reality television projet that featured Murray Hill.
Yes. Who I think is a drag comedian. I didn't think recently maybe came out as a drag king, but I don't think he really, because I was talking to Landon about that. And Landon was like, I'm not sure, like, what he really goes after. But, like, yes, Murray Hill, fierce ass host, was amazing. I hope they do a season 2 and, like, bring, like, Tenderoni or even, like, there's a lot of other kings that would be really great. Throb Zombie would be a cool on there. I think there's, like, a lot of entertainers I think would be really dope. But I really loved being on Drag Me to Dinner because I felt like it was a good, outside of the king, obviously, but there's a great representation of drag across the board.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
If you look at my episode, it's like Heclina and Peaches and me and Meatball. Like, that's a wide cast of, like, talent right there.
And I rewatched that episode to prep for this, and I just, you know, Meatball's done this podcast, and I've been on Sloppy Seconds, and I just, I mean, I think Meatball is similar to what we were saying about Caitlin Riley, like, deserves the fucking world.
I completely agree. I got to introduce her when she performed in Atlanta for the first time. I was like, the reincarnation of Divine. And afterwards, she was like, that was really nice. She doesn't usually give me compliments, but she was like, that was nice.
Well, she had to for that.
Yeah,
Do you feel like if you had a dinner party off cam with Neil Patrick Harris and David Burtka, would you be chatting to both of them equally or one more than the other?
I think equally. I hate leaving someone out of a conversation.
Oh,
even if someone's like socially struggling, or being like, I'm like, hey, so like, how was your Tuesday? Like, I'll bring it up. I'll just try to get them in there because I just don't like making it. I don't know. It grabs me even more. Of course, Starship Troopers holds a place in my heart, so I'll bring that up. But like, you know, I did get to thank him for that, which is cool.
Thank you
for Starship Troopers.
So then, what if we can manifest future projects, stardom and beyond, would you like to have, like, if Bitchin had its own show, what would the show look like?
Oh, dream show of mine, it's like No Holds Bar. Definitely a late night talk show on Adult Swim featuring like animation and Muppets and making it completely faggotry
and you getting fucked by Powerpuff Girls.
Oh,
him,
mama, absolutely. That's like, you don't, maybe we'd not show that specifically, but it's like, you know, it's happening. And then like, I'm like, what's going on? Like, the door opens and you see us both. Like, maybe it's that. Like, we can like make it more tongue in cheek. But yeah, definitely getting raw dogged by him. You're like, I'm so sorry, I'm ready to host. You know, like that for sure. 1000%.
Well,
But I also have a show right now that I really am happy with. It's called Fight Me, Bitch.
Oh my God, yes.
Right now, four episodes right now. It's like kind of like a pilot season. So if you guys haven't checked it out, I really would love for you to. It's with FlyQuest. If you don't know who they are, they like are a managed pro team. So like League of Legends, Super Smash Brothers. Long story short, the show's premise is me fighting people because we have beef. So me and Meatball had beef from Dragging Me to Dinner. And we played Overcooked. I had my friend Deer on there and two of FlyQuest's pro Smash players on there. We play Smash Brothers. My friend Alex Myers from Street Fighter. I'm a huge Street Fighter nerd. So working with Alex Myers and just being like welcomed in that space was really fucking cool. The season finale also features Meatball, where we have to dispose bombs and it's really loud and we will make your ears bleed in the most beautiful way.
And that is a threat and a promise.
And a promise.
I think Fight Me, Bitch is... And also, I need the idea of putting the word bitch into as many titles and premises and ideas as possible is necessary. And
yeah,
it is... I mean, obviously, this gay-ass podcast, I've done a gay-ass live show. I mean, I want to do a gay-ass book. So the bitch branding with the Q is just inspired.
Nice. People always ask me why the Q, and I'm like, if you type in B-I-Q-T, I'll pop up. If you type in bitch, you'll get a picture of a dog.
You say, or I'll give you three letters, S-E-O.
Yeah.
It is fully inspired. The way that I need to end this episode, as devastated as I am, is to ask you the final question I did not prep you on, which is, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh, shit.
She's maybe out of your... Whoopi Goldberg films might be out of your wheelhouse, which is...
No, awful. It's good. No, no. Oh, my God. What's the Christmas one that she's in? That's a bad one, though. Shit. Oh, my God. What's
the... Any answer... She's queen, so any answer is good.
No, I need to call and give me a pause.
Call Me Claus is the Christmas movie she did that no one has brought up.
I don't know why that comes. I think it's because I watched it late at night once, and that's like...
Let me just, while you're looking, I usually cut this part of the conversation out where we're like trying to find, but Call Me Claus is a 2001 movie where Santa Claus needs a replacement Santa after serving his 200-year reign, and he decides on Whoopi Goldberg, an eccentric, grouchy shopping network executive who hires him to promote Christmas decorations and presents on the network. What I just said makes no sense.
Oh, you know what? I'm a sign on that. That's my Whoopi Goldberg.
Call Me Claus, the 2001 Christmas movie starring Nigel Hawthorne. And here's another great Easter egg for our listeners. It also stars Victor Garber, gay, and it stars Brian Stokes Mitchell of Broadway fame. So I think I know what I'm going
like,
to watch.
Ghost came to my head.
Of course.
Like, of course, like, why not? But, like, also Cinderella, you know, like, I think of all these things.
You have
but,
done like, something very important for this podcast, which is to give me a research deep dive into a Whoopi Goldberg film I've never even knew existed. So thank you, bitch, for that.
Of course. Anytime.
Wow.
Those deep cuts.
Unbelievable answers. Unbelievable guest. Bitch Puddin, where can people follow you?
You can unbelievably follow me at BIQTCHPUDDIN across all social media platforms. If you want to check out my new show, Fight Me Bitch, please check it out on FlyQuest's YouTube channel. The link is in my Instagram bio, and I've posted it everywhere, and I promise it's really fun and a really good joy. Yes, ride through video games, bliss, and tomfoolery. Also, I host Bitchin', which is the second Friday of every month at Precinct DTLA. I feature a lot of drag artists, but we have video games on the patio, and you can network in the bathroom.
Hell yeah! A very gorgeous pitch and a very gorgeous sketch. Bitch Puddin', I will see you out there bitching in the world. And thank you for being such a star.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for being a gay-ass podcast.
Bloop! Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. If you enjoyed this, leave a 5-star review. Click the 5 stars. Click subscribe. I love having you here, and there's more gorginery coming in the future. Speaking of the future, there is a stunning episode of We're Having Gay Sex that you need to listen to if you haven't yet. I talk about my gay renaissance, which is the title of the episode, because of the stuff going on with Matt and the future of my gay life. Also, the next Gay Ass Live shows are coming up, so stay tuned for the ticket links for New York and LA, with LA coming up first on September 14th. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.